a certain man. Remember, the guy didn't have a name. Remember that? There was no name. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about a man for his own time. A man for his own time. This morning was a certain man. Tonight is a man for his own time. Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 56. We're going to read those real quick. Can you turn the monitors back on? They went off with the lights. Or just turn one of them on and be good. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 23. That's right after 22 before 24. All right, starting in verse number 50. It says, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel of deed of them. He was of Arimathea, the city of a Jew, and was also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man had laid. And that day was a preparation for the Sabbath, drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and behold the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct in this message, that we might get something out of it that we can use for our own lives. Father, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll be with this message, and we'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We need to realize is that I could have written about almost anybody in the Bible. I could have. Because there's an awful lot of people that would fit this description. Not only could I have written about a lot of people in the Bible, but I could have written about a lot of people in this church the same way. And as I go through this message, I want you to think of yourself and where you fit in. And I think this message is going to be a good message, and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. But, I want to look for a bit tonight about a man and a boy. And they were in the world for a specific purpose and a specific time. You know, they were not rocket scientists. They were not physicists. They were not chemists. They were not great Nobel Peace Prize winners. They were common people who God put here for a specific purpose to help fulfill the perfect plan of redemption. And I want to look at the man first. And this guy was called Joseph of Arimathea. Now, Joseph was only mentioned in four or five short verses in all four Gospels, and it talks about him in all four of the Gospels. This is very interesting because there's a lot of people that were talked about maybe in Matthew, but not in Mark, Luke, John, but Joseph was mentioned in all four of the Gospels, and I believe that is by because God wanted everybody to know who he was. But I want to show you what God can use for his honor and his glory off of someone. Now, I want to look at the characteristics of Joseph for just a minute. In Matthew 27:57, it says, "When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph." Now, Joseph was very wealthy. He did not have much to worry about. He didn't dress like everybody else did because he had a lot of money. And it wasn't that he flaunted it or anything else, but he was wealthy. He had a lot of money. No doubt he had a little bit of prestige. Now, as I was doing this, I got to thinking about Donald Trump's brother who just passed away. How many of you knew that he had a younger brother? I don't think any of us did we? But yet he was just as wealthy as what Donald is, and nobody knew who he was. He just kind of stayed underneath the radar, so to speak. And he didn't make a lot of waves. He didn't make a lot of noise or anything. He was never in the press. He was never, you know, he was just a common man. And much like Joseph. Joseph was the same way. He was just a common man. In Mark chapter 15, verse 43, it says, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor. You know, he was a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin. These were the ones who crucified the Lord. These are the ones that were some of the spiritual rulers of that day. He was well educated in the law. He knew the law of Moses, frontwards, backwards, upside down, and every other way. He knew the writings of Daniel, of Ezekiel. He knew the writings of Micah and of Isaiah. You know, he was looking for the Messiah to come. He was one of the Jews that was looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Messiah. He was looking for it. He knew what to look for, and he was looking for that. Not only that, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 57, it says, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus. A disciple means follower. It doesn't mean that he was an apostle because he wasn't in the inner three or in the inner 12, but he was a disciple. Joseph was a follower of Jesus. He believed what he said was true. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God, or he thought he was at this time period, and he followed Jesus. In Mark 15, 43, it says, and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Joseph had prestige. You need to understand, not everybody could just go walking into Pilate and ask the body of someone that was just crucified. There weren't a whole lot of people who could just walk in to Pilate and say, hey, I want that body. And they would give it to him. Now, he had prestige. He could get an audience with Pilate anytime he wanted. He had access to the capital. He had to be very influential with the leaders of that day. But he also was a good man. In Luke chapter 23, verse 50, it says, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man. You know, he was profitable. He was a very profitable man in the work of the Lord. He wasn't real outgoing, but he did not ruffle a lot of feathers. You know, he didn't go to the press all the time. Something would happen and want his name posted on boards and everything else for the things that he thought he could do. You know, he was just kind of a quiet man that just went about things and got them done. But he was a just man. He obeyed the law of the land. whatever he did it fairly. He never took advantage of anyone. He never took bribes. He was upright before all men. Joseph was an all-around nice guy. You know, yeah. You think about him. You know, he was just a pleasure to be around. You know, someone who you would like to take and just have a small conversation with once in a while. You know, someone that you could trust, someone who had power in the community. You know, all of us, I think, know someone maybe like that who we just like to be around. You know, we just like to have fellowship with him once in a while. But you know, Joseph had his faults. Joseph had his faults. I told you all the good things about him, but he had his faults. after all the good things that you just heard about, now let's take a look at the skeleton in his closet, shall we? You know, he had a skeleton in his closet. And in John chapter 19, verse 38, it says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. Joseph was a coward. Even though he had all these good qualities, he was still a coward. You know, he did not want anyone to know he followed Jesus. He did not want anyone to know that he was a disciple. He did not want anyone to know that he was a Christian. He did not want anyone to know that he went soul winning. He probably never went bus calling. He never did anything at all for the church. You know, he was just kind of a back row Baptist, so to speak. You know, he never did a whole lot. He was afraid that people might say something or laugh at him. You know, he had fame. He was an all-around good guy, but he was a coward. He was ashamed to be called a Christian. He was ashamed to be called a follower of Jesus. He was ashamed to be seen with the followers of Christ. He was ashamed to let people see that he was different. He followed Jesus as one who followed afar off. Seems like we know somebody else that did that. His name was who? Peter? Followed afar off? You know, what we need to realize is this. He was just like so many other people who were in the world, who are afraid of what the world might say when they say that we are a Christian. You know, if you're afraid to stand up and let people know that you're a Christian, I hate to say this, but you're a coward. Listen, I am proud to be called a Christian. I'm proud to be born again. I'm proud to be a blood-washed believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm proud of it. And I'm going to let everybody know it. I don't care what they say or what they do or what they think. You know, there's an awful lot of people protesting now because they do not love the Lord. I happened to see something on the internet. It wasn't on mainstream media because they would not have anything like this on at all. But there was a protester in Seattle protesting, and he was stomping on the Bible. And there was a guy, an older guy, he was probably about Grant's age, and he walked up to this young kid, and he looked at him, and he said, "Can I ask you a question?" He goes, "What?" He says, "If you were to die right now, where would you spend eternity?" Kid looked at him, and he says, "What?" He says, "If you were to drop over dead right now, which you probably could very easily do, where would you spend eternity?" The kid looked at him, and he says, "Well, nobody's ever asked me that before." He says, "Well, I'm asking you now." The kid looked at him, and he says, "Well, I guess I'm not sure." The guy says, "Would you mind picking up that Bible?" The kid picked it up, handed it to him. It was all scuffed up, tore pages, tore out. He opened up the Bible to Romans 3:23 and said, "What does this say?" The kid says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." Went over to Romans 6:23, he says, "What does this say? For the wages of the penalty of sin is death." He says, "You know what?" He says, "Let me ask you something." He says, "Are you a sinner? Have you ever done anything wrong?" The kid says, "Yeah." He says, "So what's your penalty?" "Death." He says, "It's not a physical death, it's a spiritual death. You're going straight to hell." And the kid looked at him, and he said, "That isn't where I want to go." The guy led him to the Lord. He says, "Now," he says, "take this book and read it from cover to cover. And you're going to find everything in life that you're looking for." The kid took the book, the Bible, put it underneath his arm, and walked away. Hey, listen, that's what we need. We need Christians who are not afraid to go up to somebody eyeball to eyeball and let them know right where they're going to spend eternity if they don't turn from what they're doing. You know, Joseph wasn't that way. Joseph of Arimathea was not that way. He was not a guy that would do anything like that. You know, I believe that Joseph was one of those who were just, you know, a common person, so to speak. But just hang on a minute. Don't write him off. Even though he's a coward, don't write Joseph off yet. You know, God had prepared him for
for a time of his life. Now, you know, even though he was a coward, to be called a Christian, God had something for him to do. In Mark chapter 15, verse 43, it says, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Listen, Joseph had access to Pilate. You know, I believe that Joseph had enough influence that he could walk into Pilate's presence anytime he wanted. And Pilate would say, come on in. Come on in. You know, Joseph, although he was a coward, you know, he was called to do something boldly. And that was to walk into Pilate and boldly ask for the body of Christ. Yeah, I believe that Joseph was one of those, but wait a minute, hang on. What caused the difference? Wasn't he a coward? Wasn't he the one that went to Jesus secretly? I mean, look at Nicodemus. Nicodemus went to Jesus at night because he was a coward. I believe Joseph was the same way. He was a coward. But what made the difference? Why was it all of a sudden he went into Pilate and he says, I want the body of Jesus, boldly? What made the difference? I believe that this is what happened. I believe that Joseph was one of those who was following afar off when Jesus was beaten. When Jesus had the crown of thorns placed upon his head. When Jesus was led up Calvary's mountain. When the nails were put in Jesus' hands and feet. When they lowered him down into the hole and it hit the bottom of the hole with a thud. I believe that Joseph was following afar off, watching everything that was happening. I believe that Joseph heard the seven things that Jesus said from the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Behold thy son. I thirst. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. Father, I commend my spirit unto thee. I believe that he heard all seven of those. Not only that, but I also believe that Joseph saw the darkness for 3 hours. I also believe that he saw the veil of the temple that was rent from the top to the bottom, where we now have access to the Holy of Holies. I believe that he may have walked by the graveyards and seen the dead laying on the ground wrapped in their grave clothes. You know, I believe that he felt the earth shake underneath his feet. I believe that Joseph of Arimathea said to God right then and there, enough is enough. I've seen enough. I will go to Pilate. I will beg the body of the Savior. I don't care what people think of me. I don't care what people will do to me. I'm going to follow the Lord. You know, he was the one who's going to step up to the plate and give Jesus the proper burial. He would bury him in a new tomb which was dug for himself. He was a wealthy man. He had this cave cut out of this stone so that he had some place to be buried in. God had prepared Joseph for his own time. God allowed Joseph to be rich. God allowed Joseph to be influential. God allowed Joseph to hew this new tomb where no man had ever laid to fulfill the prophecy. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Jesus would borrow Joseph's tomb for 3 days and three nights. Joseph had no idea when he had that tomb dug that it was going to be for the Savior. He had no idea. He thought it was going to be for himself. You know, Joseph was a man for his own time. Joseph was a man for his own time. You know, in all four Gospels, there's also a story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. In all four Gospels, it talks about Jesus feeding the 5,000. In the book of John, it tells of who was there and had the lunch for the people. In John chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "There's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many?" I think the front door just blew open. You know, here we see a young lad. The Bible does not say who he is, doesn't say how old he was, doesn't say if he, you know, if his family came along with him or anything. It just said that there's a young lad. You know, no doubt his mama packed him a lunch in the morning and said, "Now this is what you need to eat at lunchtime." You know, no doubt he had tuna fish, because tuna goes a long ways, amen? You know, his mama probably told him not to share it with anybody because there's only enough for him. He was a grown boy. You know, I can see Philip trying to get that lunch away from that little boy. "My mama said, mama said, mama said." I can hear it. I can hear it. You know, God had prepared this young lad to have these five loaves and three small fishes to further the gospel of Christ. But what can a small child who's not able to have wealth or influence or prestige do to further the gospel of Christ? You know, we need to train up our children in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, they're available to be called by Christ into God's service. You know, can you imagine what the little lad told his mama when he came home? I can see it now. I can see this little kid just running home after all this is all over. He's got his hands full. He comes walking in. He goes, "Hey, mama, you'll never guess what happened. Never in a million years." I mean, just going on and on and on and on, talking 500 miles an hour. And she goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, slow down, boy. What happened?" He says, "Well," he says, "all of a sudden," he says, "the disciples came and took my fishes and my bread." And he says, "There was over 5,000 people there and they all got fed. And look at this, I brought home the leftovers, 12 baskets. Hey, that would be cool, wouldn't it? He had 12 baskets full of leftovers. You know, they ate for a couple weeks. Yeah, I can see it now. This little lad, he would have been so excited going home to his mama, telling him everything went on. You know, this young lad, God had prepared for a time in his life. You know, this young lad was here to show the power of the Son of God. You know, as I was going over this or doing this message, I got to thinking of people in this church over the 21 years I've been here. We've had an awful lot of people that have been here for a while and gone, been here for a while and gone, been here for a while and gone. We've had electricians, we've had carpenters, we've had carpet layers, we've had cooks, we've had everybody from every walk of life you can possibly think of as a member of this church over the last 21 years. Where are they now? They were here for a time of their life. They were here for a time of their life. They were here when God called them to be here. I look at the people who are in the church now. I look at Kevin and Nancy and Grant and Sally and Sully, George, Pete. Anyway, Mrs. Holcomb, how's that? And I look at Chuck. You know, I look at everybody that comes to this church. Why are they here? I look at Tuck. They're here because God has them for a time in their life doing what he's called them to do. It's just like Joseph of Arimathea. Listen, he was no great man other than he was wealthy, and he had a grave dug out in a hill. But it was there for a purpose. Now, he could have had that 100 years earlier, couldn't he have? Nope. It had to be right then. Because Jesus wasn't there 100 years earlier. Joseph had to live in the time period that he lived right then and there to be used by God for the purpose that God had him for on the earth. Think of David. David lived when God purposed for him to live on the earth. You know, it's just like all of us. God has purposed for each of us to live now in this time period on the earth. You know, sometimes I say to God, I say, why do you have me here? You know, what am I doing? You know, just spinning my wheels, you know, whatever. But listen, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for this time in history for a certain part of God's plan. And each of us are the same way. Each of us are here to fulfill God's plan. You know, sometimes I wonder about Michael, but anyway, but you know, all of us are here for the honor and glory of God. You know, but what does God have prepared for us at this time? You know, maybe you're rich and famous. Maybe you have lots of money and you want to take and further the work here at the church. Or maybe you're very influential in the community. Or maybe you're just a small lad who has just a little lunch and can use it for God's honor and glory. Or you're a good man or a good woman who will be willing to give of your time and your talents to further the gospel here in Florence and Coolidge? Or are you a person who could maybe teach Sunday school or prepare the Lord's Supper table or do other things in the church? You know, God has prepared all of us to grab the bull by the horns and say, here am I, Lord, I'll do it. You know, are you a coward, a drunkard, a drug addict? Are you a backslider? Are you in poverty? Are you at the bottom looking up? You know, it doesn't matter to God where you are. If he wants you to do something, he's going to call you to do it, and it's up to you to do it. It's up to you to say, here am I, send me. You know, so many times we say to ourselves, well, you know, Lord, you can't use me for anything. I'm just a teenager. Well, you know what? Teenagers can do an awful lot. You know, one of the best soul winners that I ever went out with was a little girl about 5 years old. Black hair came down to about the middle of her back. And she would go up to the door and she would ring the doorbell. And then I would stand there. And she would go and she'd walk around back of me. And they'd come to the door and I'd introduce myself and introduce her. And she would take and peek around me like this here. And the people just loved her, you know. And they would stand there and they would listen to whatever I wanted to say. And so then I would say, come here. And then she'd come around and I'd say, tell them who you have in your heart. And she would look right at him and she'd say, I have Jesus in my heart. I know that I'm going to heaven because I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And you know what? It just melted the people's hearts. It did. This little five-year-old, it was unbelievable. We would win more people to the Lord, you know, just because of her. and her innocence. Another good soul winner that I knew, her name was Amanda Kepler, and they were homeschooled, so they were always home. They were never anywhere else. But there would be people that would come to the house, and, you know, they're electricians or whoever, you know, UPS guy, whatever. And she would always meet them, and she had on a wordless bracelet. And she always went like this here when they were there and just kind of showed them the bracelet, just kind of played with it. And they go, wow, that's a pretty bracelet. And she would look at them and say, can I tell you about it? Can I tell you about this bracelet? And, I mean, you know, here's this little six-year-old. Well, okay, yeah, go ahead. She says, this black color, that stands for sin. She's, do you know that all of us have sin? The Bible says that all have sinned and that all of us have done something wrong. And she says, this white one here, this stands for our sin being washed away. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have our sins washed away. And that's what this white one represents, is our sin being washed away. And she says, this gold one, what that represents is where we're going to spend eternity in heaven if we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. This blue one represents baptism. And if we get baptized, why, you know, that's walking with Jesus. And it was amazing of how many people she led to the Lord with just that little wordless bracelet. And, you know, on Wednesday night, we would have, soul-winning tally, we called it. And what it was, we had a car in the front of the church. It was a trolley car. And it went from zero, and it went up to, I think, 500. And each week, everybody would tell how many people they led to the Lord that week. And so if you led somebody to the Lord, you got 10 points. And she was always in front of everybody, you know. And then if you could get them to come to church, it was worth 20 points. And if they got baptized, it was worth 50 points. And she was always way ahead of everybody on everything. And but she just little and didn't get to go very often anywhere. But whoever she came in contact with, she talked to. You know, I think this is a great thing for all of us to be able to take and do something that God has called us to do for His honor and His glory. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, you know, I know there's some things that I could do, but I just haven't had the courage to step out and do them. I haven't had the courage to say, well, you know what? I know this needs to get done, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out and do it. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. I'm just going to do it. And, you know, we need to realize that, you know, this little lad, can you imagine what it was like when he handed over his lunch to the disciples, not knowing exactly what they were going to do with it other than eat it? But then he's standing there watching Jesus break that up and feed over 5,000 people. There's many that say there was as many as 20,000 people there. There was 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And everyone got fed. Everyone had enough. You know, I really don't believe there's any social distancing or masks involved in this. But what we need to realize is that we need to do something for the honor and glory of God when He calls us to do it. You know, we are all called for a reason in a season. And we are in the season. Now we just have to find out what the call is and the reason. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the message tonight. I just pray, Lord, that we might be able to take and find out what you would have us to do. Joseph of Arimathea had no idea when he was younger that he was going to be used by you to have his own tomb used for 3 days and three nights to keep you in it. But you rose victorious, and it changed his life immensely. And this little lad had no idea when he went with the 5,000 that day that his lunch was going to be used to feed 15 or 20,000 people. Father, I just pray that each and every one of us would find what you want us to do with what we have and use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. It's all yours.
If you'd turn to hymn number 164 with me for our invitation.